Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Strawberry wine. You're as wild.
episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And that tune was Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton. And you know, people might say it's country, which it really is, but that sounds so soulful, man. I can feel that thing late at night with the red light on, with your baby by the side of you. Yes, that got that little funky feel to it. But tonight is going to be a great night. Just tonight, Annette, she is a foster care parent, and she will share some ins and outs about the foster care system. Me personally, it ain't for me, because I believe in whipping that black when they show off, you know. But there's too many rules, so I just, like, you know, deal with my grandkids, because I can't even snatch them up. They done got taller than me. I'm the little midget in the house. But without further ado, I want to announce my co-host first. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, I'm doing good. Happy Friday.
Yes, happy Friday to you too, baby. And how you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. Hello, everybody out there in global network land.
Yeah, in the global world around us, because we're broadcasting in 27 countries, and we're getting, I think, another one get ready to join the roster, 28. But without further ado, I want to first appreciate our guests for spending a Friday with us, because, you know, Friday's a time when people often work. They want to hang out. They want to do stuff, and they don't want to really be bothered with dealing with, you know, being on a radio show. So with that being said, I so appreciate Annette for being here. How you doing, Annette?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, most definitely, because there's a lot of people who think being a foster care parent is something easy, and I'm here to tell you, I got a friend who's one, and the trials and tribulations that she goes through couldn't be me. And so we're going to start with my radio son. We're going to let Chris ask his question first. What's your question, darling?
All right, Annette, my question is, when you're a foster parent, what's the difference? I mean, what's the difference between being a foster parent and being like an adopted parent, per se?
Okay. Well, when you're an adopted parent, first of all, the child becomes yours as if you were the parent that naturally birthed them. And with an adoptive parent, the responsibilities and everything is solely on you. There's no state involvement. It's you're the parent. Anything that you have then becomes the child. So if something should happen to you and there's money or anything, a will, it all would fall to that child. So that child then has that sense of belonging. Nobody can come in and take them away from you. They're yours. With foster care, you have the system that's involved. You have others that are looking over. You have caseworkers, and depending on, because there's different types of foster care programs out there. Some are for kids that are higher risk, and then you have those that just need a temporary place, some a long-term placement, but there's always other people looking at what you're doing, caseworkers that have to come once a month to check to see how the child is doing and if everything is okay. In school, the foster whatever agency the child is with school, they can go to the schools to see how the child is doing in school. It's just more of a state involvement, government involvement with a foster child.
Okay.
Good question, Chris. Mark, I know you got a question for our guest.
Oh, I always got questions. I don't know too much about it, so I'll ask some basic questions first, Annette. How long are children typically in foster care?
Very good question, and that's typically based on the situation for the child and the parents. The parents have the more say in how long that the child is going to be in foster care, because what happens is when the child is taken from a home, the parents are given the opportunity to fix whatever the situation is that caused the kids to be taken from them. So depending on that situation determines how long the child would be. A common situation that we run into today is a lot of parents are on drugs. So when you have a situation where a parent is on drugs, you have to make sure, the courts want to make sure that that parent becomes clean before putting that child back in that situation again. So that can take anywhere from a year to a year and a half. And sometimes, and realistically, sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Okay.
Okay, well, I've heard this term used called respite. And is that a term meaning that when you need a break or you want to go somewhere, that you can leave that foster care child with another foster care parent for the weekend and then you can take a time off for yourself? Or am I wrong about
yes.
what that term means?
No, that's exactly right. Respite is to give you a break sometimes because the kids can be a little challenging, and sometimes traveling with the kids, if you want to travel to another state, travel somewhere else, the child may not be able to leave state. So a lot of times some families, when they're going on vacation, they'll put their kids in respite, their foster kids in respite. That way the family still can continue on with going on vacation and things like that. I did not use respite in that way. I always got special permission to take the kids on vacation with me because if even though they're a foster child, you want them to try to feel as much as part of the family as possible. And if you're putting them in respite while you go on vacation, that causes feelings between the if you have your own kids or even between you and the child.
I can see that because they probably say, you didn't want me. You only took the kids that you gave birth to and you left me somewhere else. I can see that, you know, but I'm going to play the other side of the spectrum as well. My friend, she's a foster care mother. She did adopt one child, and that's her love of her life. But she had her biological nephews with her, and they became her foster care after whether the parents was on drugs or the parents died. I don't remember what the particulars was. But because she was a blood aunt, even though she was a foster care parent, when they showed up, she spanked them. Do you know they came out to the house? Because when they come out to visit every now and then to talk to the child and talk to the foster care parent to see how things was going, the little boys told her, they took the little boys out of her home for a while. And I feel some kind of way about that because if it's a blood relative that you grew up with, knowing them as babies and to little young boys and stuff, and, you know, you are used to prior to being a foster care parent when they step out of line because you're the aunt and you don't play that, you can whip their behind. I kind of think that was messed up because they just disregarded the fact that she was a blood relative who was stepping in to take the kids so they wouldn't be around strangers in a foster care environment. And don't you know them kids dropped a dime on them that she spanked them for showing off and they took them right out of that house? Man, after all the money she spent buying them twin beds and all kinds of stuff because they were her relatives before she was a foster care parent. What are your take on that?
Well, even in today's world, even like with your natural children, they don't want you to spank them. I know a situation where there was a parent that had to go to the school for their child and they spanked their child and they had the school police called on them. And the school police let them know that they, even though that's their child, they still could not spank their child. So, but as far as in foster care, the kids have so many rights. It's a lot of rights, and I can understand because of situations that they had been in and things that they had gone through. So they're trying to give the kids a better start at life. But unfortunately, a lot of times what ends up happening is these kids realize that they can tell, and if it's something, sometimes if you tell them no, you can't have this, it's just that one thing that you're telling them no for, and they think they can get something better somewhere else by being in someone else's home, but that's not always the case. And it's hard because it's just the way the world has changed with giving kids so many rights,
because
no matter who the child is, no matter who the child is, they'll tell.
Yeah, but when I was going to school and I would go to school and I try to be the class clown, I would take some fake vomit and wet it and act like I'm puking and they send me to the office. And my mother, she would come to the principal's office and she'd be suited and booted up and all GQ and everything. And she always attended the PTA meetings. So they knew her, right? But, you know, when I showed up in that office, man, she popped me upside my head, kicked me in my butt out the office and said, let's go, we're going home right now. And they ain't say nothing. They didn't complain because they knew that Ms. Robinson, She didn't play that mess, you know what I'm saying? And she was, you know, in her kid's life. She made sure their homework was done, this and that, and they knew I was goofing off. So I guess time has changed because they wouldn't even think about putting somebody in jail because of disciplining their kid when their kid was showing off. But on that note, we need to take a little small break, and we'll be back in 2 and 2. Stay with us.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been here. Yes. Oh, I haven't forgotten, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. But things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
No! No! Who is this? Why is he in my house? Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, my girlfriend.
Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
I see trees of green, red roses. See them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Well, welcome back to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And that tune is Louis Armstrong, also known as Satchmo, What a Wonderful World. I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west. and all my global listeners in 27 countries. And we're going to get back with our guest and a closer look at foster care. And we're going to start with Mark this time with his question.
Yeah, Annette, if I was considering adopting a foster child, I would want to know, where are the biological parents now? And are there any relatives in the area near you? And what's the expectation for ongoing contact with the birth parents, the siblings, or the extended family? I want to know all those things.
That's a good question.
Okay. Well, sometimes knowing where the biological parents are is not possible because there are situations sometimes where the family may have been homeless due to the parents being on drugs. So the child was taken from them because the parents aren't doing what they're supposed to, and they're just, you can't find them because they're homeless and there's no last known address for the child. The parents have the opportunity once the child is taken with court, because there's a lot of court appearances that the parents can appear to let the courts know what they're doing and to become compliant with what is expected for them. As far as birth siblings, if there are other siblings and they're known about them, the decision is yours. If you're adopting them, even with the extended family, it's up to you if you want that child to maintain contact with their biological family. My personal feeling is sometimes it's a good thing, because that family can help them to get a grasp and understanding on who they are, but it's only a good thing if that family is not talking against you as the adoptive parent while they're visiting with them. If the family and siblings understand that this is what had happened and it's for the better of their sibling and that family member, and they're doing what they need to do to help them to adjust to being part of your life and in your life, then I'm all for the contact. But again, in some situations, the parents don't want the kids to be taken in. And if their siblings available, especially older, a lot of times the older siblings have become the parent to the child. So that's like you're taking their child away from them and you're separating them. And sometimes they'll make it hard for you to accept and make it hard for the child, try to make the child feel guilty that they're getting a better life. So you have to see what's in the best interest of you and the child as to whether or not you want to maintain that contact. Again, with adoption, once you adopt, that child is yours. Parents' rights have been terminated. The birth family rights have been terminated. That child is now yours. That's part of your life. It's like you birthed that child, and you have to make the best decisions for that child.
Okay. Very, very interesting.
Good answer. Well, I like that question, Mark. Now, my baby, Chris, I'm going to let him ask the question. Go ahead, darling.
All right. My next question is, how long does it take to be a foster parent? I mean, what are the guidelines?
Good question.
There are training classes that you have to go through for.
I'm sorry. I just got to jump in here. My boys, they slammed it. They slammed it with the questions at night. Good questions. Because people have been listening. The things y'all asking, people will want to know the stuff. So y'all slammed it, Chris and Mark. Kudos to you. I'm so happy.
Thank you.
There are training classes that you do have to take. That's okay. There are training classes that you do have to take to become a foster parent. So it is a process. Depends on where you are, because each state has its own individual rules that it goes through. So you do have to go through a background check. Your home does have to be inspected. They do come out to make sure you have a good home, and there's things that you have to have in place. As a foster parent, one thing people don't realize is you do have to have a fire extinguisher in the home. And you have to have, as a foster parent, you have to have CPR and first aid, and that usually has to be done every year. So sometimes it can take anywhere from 6 months to a year, but because the need is so great, they've been having classes more frequently, and it doesn't take as long to become a foster parent because the need is so great. They have night classes usually, where, because most people work during the day, where you can go in evening and take classes to become certified, and they train you. And some in some cases, depending on the agency, they may bring in previous foster care so you can talk to them to get an understanding of what's expected and what's going to happen. And sometimes they bring in other foster parents to let you know what you're walking into, because it can be very challenging. Even though these kids are in bad situations sometimes, they still don't want to leave their family because that's what they know. So to try to give them a better quality of life is and pulling them away, they just don't understand that because it's how they've been raised and what they know. So sometimes, yes, coming into your home, they can give you a problem in the beginning until they get to know you, and they will manipulate you and manipulate the system and manipulate the teachers and lie and sometimes steal from you and do things because this is behaviors that they know. There are situations where if a child is not getting enough food, you'll find that they'll hoard food. You'll go into their bedroom and underneath the bed and in the bed under the mattress, they'll have food there because it may be a situation where they weren't getting enough food and they learned that they had to hide food for the next time they needed it. Some of them don't like to wash up because they were in situations where when they got washed up, somebody touched them sexually. So now they're scared to keep their body clean, and that was the only thing that kept them safe. So having to get through all these barriers that are going on with the child, because although it is a child, it's a child that hasn't been treated the way they need to be treated and provided with the things that they need, and it can be very hard.
Well, and then I need to say to you and for everybody out there listening, this woman is a God-fearing, caring, good foster care parent, because there are many of y'all out there, y'all know who y'all are, they are foster care parents out there for the check. Because I've heard too many people brag how big the check is every month, you know, and they get an allowance to buy clothes for the kids, and they run right to the thrift store and buy clothes when they're given allowance to buy new clothes. And a lot of people, you know, when their kids are grown up and moved out, they figure that that check will help support their bills, and they don't have the right mindset in it, you know. And sometimes, you know, it's not always good putting a child in foster care because you think that you're going to be taking care of that kid, and that's not always the case. Sometimes it's a horror story for kids in foster care, because I know firsthand how someone that I know, I'm not going to say who, was in foster care, and the foster care parent was trying to touch the young boys, you know, and I said, what is going on, you know, and it also causes psychological issues on top of it. But for people like Annette, I applaud you, and for the other people out there, you know, that are doing the right thing, you got a heart for serving and giving and taking care and loving on somebody. And whether your child is grown and moved out, or whether you didn't have a child, or whether you just like being around children, you know, I applaud those people. But y'all low down, you know who you are, people who are using the system to get that check to pay for your little trip on the bus to the casinos or whatever it is that y'all do to spend that money. Foul, shame on you, because we all going to be judged one day. I'm just saying, you know, and it's bad enough, like she just said. A lot of these kids, they're hiding food because they didn't get enough to eat. They're afraid to shout because they figure that they take the clothes off some pervert that's supposed to be their caregiver is sitting there trying to touch them inappropriately and all other kinds of crazy stuff. So, you know, she's right. They got to make sure they are protecting themselves from you, and they don't have no say-so because the system place them here and there. They don't choose the people who they can go to. So it's a horrible cycle. But I'm going to sit there and play the song, and we're going to be back in two and two. But it's just like, it just bothered me, you know, that this thing is going on and people don't get it. They just think that it's okay to do what they do to people, and it's not right. It's not right. And, play the song, we'll be back in 2 and 2.
While all the time that I was loving you, you were busy loving yourself. besides the kids, I had nothing to show. Wasted my years, a fool of a wife. I should have left your ass long time ago.
I think so.
Okay, well, Mark, the question's on you, baby.
Yeah, Annette, do you need to be married to be a foster parent?
No, you do not need to be married to be a foster parent.
That's good. That's good to know.
Excuse me.
Yeah, bless you. And you, Chris, got your question, baby?
Yes, Mike, my next question for Annette is, How many is foster care, is that legal in all 50 states, or are there states that don't have it legal?
No, it's legal. Well, foster care is a government program, so all states have it, and it's run by government.
Okay.
Because there's a need for foster kids are in need all over. So I know a lot of people, especially when they're considering adopting, often want to go outside of the United States to take kids in from overseas. But there's just as many kids right here in the United States that need families and homes. The problem is oftentimes easier to adopt a child from overseas as it is to adopt a child from here. One of the main differences that with a child here, you at least might know a little bit more of a background as far as the parents. Overseas, you really don't know what the parents of the child would have gone through or anything. Here, you might know that the parent might have been doing drugs while she was pregnant, or both parents were doing drugs at the time the child was conceived, and you'll be more aware of the health issues and things that the child has. And the government, they do provide a lot of help for adoptive parents as well as foster parents when making sure that anything the children need is taken care of. There are situations where a baby that's been born to a family that can't handle it because of mental issues and they have shaken baby syndrome, but everything you need the state will give you to make sure that baby's okay. There's even some agencies that will help you if you're in situations where you're taking in a family member. They'll help you get beds. If you don't have the beds in the house but you have the room to bring the child in some cases they will give you a stipend to go to the store and buy the beds for the family.
That's awesome. Yeah, like you said, Chris. Annette, we so appreciate you being such an articulate guest and clearing up some of the things about care.
Awesome.
And for the people out there who are single, look, if you got the right heart to care for someone, you know, unselfishly, then go ahead and help out because the system is flooded with kids that need someone to love them, not to abuse them. So, you know, who do they talk to, Annette, to find out how to be a foster care parent? They go to welfare. Who do they go to find out?
Well, you have to each state is differently with the agencies that handle it. So if you look up foster care on the internet for your local area, they'll tell you who you need to speak with. And they'll direct you because each state identifies it as something else. So, you know, but, you know, because I know in Pennsylvania it's child welfare, but so you have to find it according by state. So just Google it and it'll be able to tell you. But I will advise anyone, being a foster parent can be rewarding and it can be challenging. But if your heart is not into it and you're just getting into it for money, you're going to have a hard way to go because these kids, they can look at you and tell right away that you're just a paycheck to them. And if you're just a paycheck to them, they're going to make your life even harder. If they can identify that, they see it.
You got me on Goodwill special. that ain't funny, but, you know, they watching. They know that they get entitled to that money, and they know whether you're giving it to them or feeding them right. You're absolutely correct, you know.
Well, I know you're saying about the Goodwill. I know that I did have a child that I did buy his clothes from the Goodwill. And the reason why I did that is because he did not realize the value of clothes. So I had to teach him the difference of whether it was good stuff that, you know, I go to the store and buy you and let you pick out something from the store, or I'm going to take you to some place like Family Dollar or the Goodwill and let you go to school and let the kids in school tease you because they know that the outfit came from Family Dollar because kids do tease. But he learned real quick how to take care of his belongings and everything because sometimes you spend that money, even though it's money that the state's giving you, sometimes it's just not enough and you're spending this money to buy the clothes and they're not taking care of it. You find it thrown in a corner, come home from school, and it's ripped and tattered and torn and things. And so in order to teach, I did take them to the Goodwill to teach them.
I understand because you had a purpose to your madness. Some people, they just save the bulk of that money for themselves, and they never take them to get nothing new. So I understand that when kids run in there and their tennis shoes are dragged and got a hole in it and everything, they just wear stuff out because they can. But I get that. But we're going to have to let you go. And once you've been on Unmasked, you can always come home. And I'm going to play this closing song just for you, Annette. and we appreciate you. And anybody out there on the road this Friday evening, it's Christmas season. The police are out there. Be careful. Don't drink and drive. Don't do drugs and drive. If you're impaired, call Uber. You know, get home safely. I got, you know, family members out there, and I want them to get home safely as well. And I'm playing this last song for my guest. I hope she enjoys it. It's a tune by Marvin Sepp.
Never would have made it.
And you're welcome.
Thank you, darling.
Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better.